somewhere? You want this whole marina to hear you scream, fuck me, detective, fuck me harder? Okay by me, sugar. Pax, of course we're going somewhere. What'd you think? I was bringing you here for a quickie. I don't do quickies, not with girls I like. A blush flushes her whole face pink for a moment. I bet her breasts are blushing too. Detective, she says in a low voice, this is all highly unorthodox. I solve the cases, Miss Cookie. Whether or not you like my methods is none of my concern. Now, for your own safety, I'm going to need you to go down below, take off your clothes, and wait for me on the couch. For my own safety? She asks. It's either that, or you take your chances with me ripping them off you. Her mouth opens in an O of surprise, her hand covering it in a moment of shock. Detective, that's inappropriate. I finish untying the mooring of the boat and step in, making sure my hands rest on both of her hips as I gently move her aside. And I'll tell you now, if you want my help, you have to follow my directions at all times. All times? She tilts her head at me, eyebrows raised. All times. I'll give you till the count of five to get down below, or I'll rip your clothes off right here in front of the whole marina. She puts a hand over one breast, simultaneously covering herself and indicating shock in one perfect gesture. One? She turns towards the stairs that lead to the salon, but I catch her muttering. She was conflicted, and yet her body was becoming warm with the anticipation of what was to come. Can this girl get any cuter? I smile big as I start the boat and back out of the slip, then make my way out of the marina towards the ocean at a painstakingly slow speed. All I think about is how she's waiting for me down below, her naked body stretched out on the leather couch, long blonde locks trailing over her breasts, trying to hide them. But there's not enough hair on her head to hide those voluptuous tits of hers. I love fucking her with her bra on. I love pulling it down under her huge mounds so the underwire practically raises them up to her chin. God, I want to do filthy, filthy things with her mouth and her tits. Make her suck on them, her little pink tongue darting out as it traces the line of her nipples. When we finally get to open water, I set a heading and put it on autopilot. This boat is not as big as the yacht I have in West Palm Beach, but it's got everything I need for an afternoon of fantasy role-playing with Miss Sugar Cookie down there. I unbutton my shirt as I step down the stairs to the salon, and the minute I see her, that golden body naked and waiting, blood fills up my cock until it's so hard I have to resist the urge to grab it. I like to comply, Detective, Cindy purrs. It's one of my favorite things. Jesus. She looks like a fucking pinup girl lying there. She's on her side, legs scissoring together like she's trying to stimulate herself. The little blonde landing strip of hair between her legs peeks out at me like an invitation. Her arms are strategically placed, squeezing her tits together to make them look even more perfect. I finally get the buttons done on my shirt, take it off, and throw it across the table as I pass, and then go to work on my pants. What will you make me do? She asks, fake hint of fear in her voice. Anything I want, I say, pulling my cock out and fisting it, my hand moving up and down my thick shaft in slow strokes. And what I want right now, Miss Cookie, is to make you suffer for teasing me back in the car. You're lucky I don't walk out of this case, leave you to fend for yourself. I hate to bite back the smile, because my little sugar here can fend for herself just fine, but I like her damsel in distress play acting. It fucking turns me on. Suffer? She asks in an overly dramatic protest. But I didn't do anything you didn't want. It's too late now. You're here, we're heading west to nowhere in particular, and you've got my undivided attention. Please, she begs. Please don't walk out. I won't, you little tease, but I'm going to teach you a lesson right now, a lesson you'll never want to forget. I reach her, pull her up to a sitting position, and then sit down on the couch. What should I do to make it better? She places her hand over mine, which is still stroking my cock. Tell me what you want. I want. God damn, I want to fuck her is what I want. But this is way too much fun to rush things. Get up, I say. She stands up, bites her lip seductively, and stands there as I lie down on the couch where she just was. Now sit on top of me. She straddles my thighs, positioning her pussy right over my cock, but I place a hand on her arm and say, no, no, no. You wish my cock was going inside you, Miss Cookie. But, Detective, I thought you... You can stop thinking now. It's unnecessary. Scoot up and lean back. Cindy scrunches her brows together, confused. You want to be a tease? Let's see who's the better tease. What are you doing? She asks in her real voice. Let's play a game. I say the words before I realize how she might take them, but she stops my worry with a smile. Let's see who can hold out the longest. Oh, honey, she purrs. I'm gonna win this game. What's my prize at the end? You think so, huh? I'll tell you what. If you win, I'll sign that Malibu house over to you. What? She's genuinely shocked. Paxton, that's insane. Why? She stutters for words. What are you doing? Why is it insane? I just want to make sure you're not sleeping in a trailer if you ever get tired of me. I don't need your house, and it's worth $14 million, that's why. That was purchase price, sugar. It's worth $21 million at the moment, and I know you don't need it now. You already live there with me, but it's a nice place, right? People get addicted to nice things, and then sometimes they stay in situations just to keep those things. I want to make sure that never happens to us. I'm not taking your house. Don't be ridiculous. Afraid you're going to lose, Miss Cookie? I'm not going to lose, she snorts. In fact, I bet I win this little game in less than 10 minutes. Well, if I win, I say, my voice a deep mixture of desire and arrogance, then I want to meet your dad. What? If I didn't know we were playing a game, I'd be convinced that shocked look is real. Why? She almost whispers it. You met my mother. I want to meet yours, and I have a feeling that Vic Vaughn doesn't let anyone meet his wife unless he gives them permission. Besides, that's what you do when you're serious, right? Meet the parents, get permission. That's how my mother raised me, Cinderella. I can't help that I'm a traditional kind of guy. Pax, too chicken shit to play, Miss Sugar Cookie. No, she protests. No, that's not it. I'm just not sure. She stops short. But I know what she's going to say. I'm just not sure we're that serious yet. We are that serious, and even if she doesn't think so right now, she will realize it soon. I want a meeting with your dad, and look, I know I'm a little rough around the edges, but I clean up well. I have manners, Cindy. I won't embarrass you. She bites her lip, and damn if she isn't the best little actress. I almost think she's really worried about this. Game on? I ask, once again wincing at my choice of terminology. She lets out a long sigh. I won't lose. So in 10 minutes, I'm going to own your house. That's the spirit, sugar. Winning is 99% attitude. Are you ready? Game on. Well, okay then. I want you to press your pussy up against my shaft and rub against it. She tilts her head with a sly grin. All the way against it. I want you to slide up and down my shaft so my tip tickles your clit and move your hips until it touches your ass. She exhales. Shit. No sugar. Squirt. I'll make you come squirting and I won't even have to touch you.
Chapter 21. Cindy. Focus, Cinderella. I do not need that house, nor do I want it. But what if Pax wins and insists I call home when we're done to set up a time to meet my dad? He cannot meet my dad. He's already met my dad. And I know damn well my Uncle Vic will not play along with this. No fucking way. He'd take one look at Paxton, recognize him as Mr. Mysterious, and be on the phone to my father that same instant. They'd probably kick his ass. Well, they'd definitely try. But I have a lot of uncles. They'd all get in on it. Hell, Oliver would too. They would definitely kick his ass. Cindy, Pax says, breaking the role play. You're just sitting there. Detective, I say, trying to give myself time to figure out how to get out of this game. I really don't think... You're gonna win. He tisks his tongue. I know you're not going to win, sugar. But we're already playing. You want to be a tease? I can tease back. Now do what I say. Detective, I repeat, using my sweet acting voice. It's just not fair that you get to tease me first. We're teasing each other, he says. All you gotta do is make me come before you, and you win. The more seductive you are, the more excited I get. The whole problem with this is that he knows how I am when his dick is playing with my clit, and he knows I can make myself squirt while I masturbate. So this is basically me masturbating with his dick. I'm so gonna win, I say. But all I'm thinking is, I'm so gonna lose. Here, Pax says. I'll help you get started. You're so considerate, I purr, slapping his hand away. But you said, aha, I have a path to victory. You said you'll make me come squirting and you won't even have to touch me. So that's the rule? I smile, smug. That's the rule. Sugar, I've already won. I let him think that as I move into position, cupping my breasts together the way I know he loves. He's got a lot of kinky ideas about my tits. I can tell by the way he fondles them while we fuck. He pushes them up towards my face, like he's hoping against hope my little tongue will just dart out and... Shit, Cindy, stop turning yourself on. You're trying to win here. But that's the problem, isn't it? Everything I can do to make him come also turns me on. Getting worried? Pax asks, smirking up at me. Not at all. I take his hard dick in my hands and press it up to the wet lips of my pussy. He closes his eyes, just a flicker, really. And I know I'm the one with all the power here. He won't last. He won't. I move my hips up and down just a tiny bit, sliding my juices all over his shaft. Fuck yeah, he says. Fuck yeah, I think. But I keep going, pressing him against my folds, desperately trying to stimulate him without hitting my sweet spot. You're cheating, he says, pushing on his cock so that the head is right where I don't need it to be. You have to hit the button, sugar. That's the rules. I move my hips, angling them so his tip just barely hits my clit, biting my lip so I don't get too turned on. Fuck, Pax says. You have the prettiest pussy. So pink and wet, and your lips fold around my dick like they want to eat it up. Oh, God. I actually get wetter, if that's possible. He's gonna dirty talk me right into losing this game. Don't be stupid, Cindy. You have a mouth, too. Use it. You know what I love? I purr. Hmm, Pax asks, still concentrating on how my pussy looks hugging his cock. The way you look at my tits. I fist one, my other hand holding his cock tightly to my pussy so he gets the full effect of my movements. And you know what I've figured out? Hmm, he says again. That you want me to touch you after all. I almost laugh. This might be easier than I thought. He's already wishing he could touch me. Because, he continues, all I'm thinking about is how I'd like to grab your hips and drag your clit up and down my cock until you're whining about the agony of defeat. He's good. I'll give him that. He's damn good. No, I say, bending forward and leaning down so my thighs straddle him and my tits press against his chest. If you stop moving, sugar, I win by default. No. I say again, rubbing myself against him. That little lip of skin over the tip of his head bumps up against my clit, and I exhale, loudly. I've figured out what you want me to do. And then I cup my breast, bring it up to my mouth, and trace my nipple with my tongue. I feel his dick jump as his eyes go wide. Fuck, he says. Oh yeah, I moan. Do you like it? I lick again. You know how this feels when I do this to your cock? I ask. Well, I say, leaning all the way down into his neck so I can breathe the words into his ear. That's how it feels for me right now, too. Bitch, he says. Why play the game if you never want to win? I'm going to win this one, Mr. Mysterious. You stopped moving. Do that again and you forfeit. Asshole. I move again, but damn if the head of his dick isn't still right there, ready to push my button. I wince, then stop to calm down, but start back up again before he declares himself the winner. You're getting weaker, he says, maneuvering his legs so there's even more pressure and friction, bending his knees and bracing his feet on the bed. I might not be able to touch you, but... He thrusts his hips, hard, so his balls slap against my ass. Cheater! I squeal. But holy fuck, that feels so good. I move faster, his shaft still sliding between the lips of my pussy. Pax closes his eyes, so I keep going. You like that? I ask. You like the way my pussy feels, all wet and warm and ready for your cock. Don't you just want to be inside me? Feel me squeeze you? Keep going, he mumbles. Keep talking. God, it would be so easy to come right now. I bite my lip, trying not to let my own dirty talk be my downfall. How to win the game when losing means you get exactly what you want. I want to feel the slap of your balls again. I want your hard dick inside me. I want you in my mouth, and I want your tongue in my pussy. Do it, he says. Turn around and do it. Oh, man. I'm gonna lose it if I let his tongue touch me down there, but if I suck him off, there's a chance I can win. I'm gonna take you deep in my throat, detective. I'm gonna swallow your cock and make you choke me with your cum. His hips start grinding on me. My button is being pushed over and over, and I know, in this moment, that if I don't do something quick, I will explode. So I swing my leg over his body. Turn around, and position myself over the top of him. His abs are hard, like a plank, and those irresistible hip muscles, forming a V, like they are pointing to his cock, are staring me in the face. I lick them without thinking, just as his tongue flicks against my clit. My mouth covers his dick. I suck, but only because that's what he's doing to me, then gasp when I realize how close I am. My head dives down, taking in his whole shaft. Ah, he moans. Ah, again. Miss Cookie, you're a dirty whore if you can take my giant, cock all the way into your throat. Keep talking, I think in my head. If he's talking, he's not licking. I'm gonna come in there, he says, practically growling the words as he thrusts his hips. But, oh fuck, I mumble. Thinking about his words. Sugar, he says, thrusting his hips again, forcing himself inside me so far I fear I will gag and ruin all the hard work I just put in. Mumble against my cock again and this game is over. Mmm, I say, feeling the vibrations as they bounce off his shaft. And then his tongue is working, and I'm humming myself into a frenzy, and my hands are underneath his balls, my fingertips searching for that tender spot around his asshole that will end this game once and for all. But my hips are out of control as he licks, I realize. I'm rocking back and forth until I find his chin and... Oh! That word goes on forever as I come, and in the same moment... His warm, salty semen is filling my mouth, spilling out from between my lips. Game over, he says, flipping me over as he fists his sticky cock so it stays hard. He hikes my hands up above my head, leans down to bite my nipple, and rams himself inside me with such force my whole body moves. My head bumps up against the armrest of the couch. I lift my knees up, giving him more access as he slams me with all his power. Balls against my asshole, and his lips on my mouth, kissing me and kissing me and kissing me. We come again. I drag my fingernails down his back, making him roar. We go still. He collapses on top of me, our hearts beating so hard they are drums in my ears. The motion of the boat comes back to me, soothing us as the beat slows and the sea becomes music. Our hot, sweaty bodies, the product of what we just composed.
I win, he says. I win.
No, I say, and snuggle up to his chest when he angles his body towards mine and puts his arms around me. We both won.
Chapter 22. Paxton. I didn't think she'd be so competitive, to be honest. I figured she'd call me ridiculous and we'd fuck around some more, then I'd just pound her against the wall. Which is still not a bad idea, and I might be ready for another round real soon. But she did try real hard to win. And it's not the house. Nope. I have a feeling Cinderella Vaughn is not the kind of girl who gives a fuck about owning a house. She was living in a trailer on the beach and seemed perfectly content. She really doesn't want me to meet her family. And maybe later, when I'm not so happy and content, I might have to think about that some more. But right now, I'm just going to chalk it up to being some kind of daddy's girl and let it go. I love your boat, Cindy says. Just wait, I mumble back, unable to open my eyes. The other one is so much nicer. We could sail around the world on that one. That would be perfect, alone with you for months and months, she says, her voice barely audible. She's tired. Hell, I'm tired. But we need to get going. I want nothing more than to lie here with you, but BRB. I get out of bed, clean up in the head, then get a hot washcloth and go back to Cindy so I can wipe her sweaty face down. Thank you, she says. But I'm not done. I open her legs up and wipe her inner thighs, then her glistening pussy. God, I'd like to fuck her again so bad. As soon as we get home, first thing on my agenda. I lean down and kiss her on the lips. She wakes up just enough to kiss me back, and then I whisper, I'm going to change the heading and take us back to the marina. Stay here and sleep. She sighs softly, then tucks her hands under her cheek and goes still. I go up to the cockpit and change course, lingering a little, looking out at the vast emptiness of ocean, contemplative. After a few minutes, we are heading back towards land, and it's weird how you can be looking at the end of the world one minute and civilization the next. We're not that far from shore, only about an hour away, but it strikes me how easy it is to unplug, disconnect, become disconnected. Isn't that what Cindy does? Isn't that why she lived in that trailer in what amounts to a parking lot? She likes her freedom. I hadn't really articulated it in my head when I offered up my house as her prize tonight. But this underlying difference between us isn't money. It's expectations, or maybe just what you're willing to settle for. Cindy is happy in her little trailer. She made that perfectly clear when we drove out there to get her clothes. It's a nice enough place, I guess. It's clean and cozy, decorated in a beachy cottage kind of way. Girly, if pressed to come up with a better description. Something she is and isn't at the same time. I can't figure her out. And what's more, I don't have much to go on. Her father makes sense in all kinds of ways. Tough guys raise tough girls, right? But naming her sisters after Disney princesses? That's not tough. Cinderella's name is the thing that doesn't fit. I don't really know the names of any other Disney princesses. Snow White, right? She's one of them? Poison apples or mirrors? I'm not sure. I'm 99.9% sure I've never even seen a Disney princess movie. I know the Cinderella one. That's a book, and when I was little, my mother read me stories every night before bed, so I've got Prince Charming's number. Dumbass who can't even recognize his girl unless he's got that damn shoe on her foot. And what was with that comment about not having an office? She finds her clients through her brother's website? I didn't see a brother when I looked online. I should really do a thorough background check on her. Figure out how she ticks. Where she came from, why she's addicted to the nomadic lifestyle. I could be a nomad. I like to travel. But there's this little nagging void in my head that says it's just not the same thing. When Cindy travels, she has a backpack of clothes and that's it. She leaves everything else behind, she said. Starting over is a hobby for her. And if she decides to stop and stay a while, she just buys new stuff. Just enough stuff. Besides, I still get the feeling she's hiding something. And whatever it is, I don't want to care about it. I really don't. Hell, I'm hiding a billion things about myself. Why would I go digging into her life if I don't want her digging into mine? And yet, I wish there was a way to prove we're the same, even though we're so different. I have houses all over the damn world. Those two islands, the boats, two again. Paxton Vance has to have a backup plan. I'm a collector, I realize. I might even be a hoarder, a house hoarder. Why do I have so many houses? I have cars stashed away, too. I should get one out of that storage facility in Long Beach and give it to Cindy. That VW Bug is cool for driving around Malibu, but you can't really go anywhere in a car like that. That's the point, I hear her voice in my head. Everything is disposable. How does she work like that? I mean, like, get clients and shit, if she's traveling all the time. Hey, Cindy says, coming up from behind and wrapping her arms around my neck. I smile up at her in the fading light. The reflection of the setting sun on the water makes her skin glow. I thought you were coming back down. Got caught up in the moment, I say, pulling her into my lap. Realizing you just lost a $21 million house in a bet is kind of sobering. She slaps my arm. You didn't lose anything. We both lost. No, I say, playing with her long strands of golden hair. It's got a little bounce in it today. We both won. That means we both get the prize. I get to meet your mom by way of your dad, and you get the title to my house. Pax, please, I don't want your house. Why not? I ask, reading way more into that statement than I should. Because then you might have to settle down, stick around, get serious. What? She asks, pulling away from me. Where's this coming from? You don't even have an office. How do you work? I told you, people get in contact and I go where I'm needed. You just pick up and leave. Pax, you're being weird. I'm not going anywhere now. Why? Why? Yeah, why is now different? Because it's not old yet? Things are still shiny and new? What if you get a request for a job in, like, Iowa? I don't know, she shrugs. If I do get a job in Iowa, I'll let you know and we can decide how to deal. How to deal? I don't want to have to deal. I want to nail this shit down, like, right now. Well, the house is yours. That house is not mine. I won't take it. I'll just put your name on the deed and be done with it. You won't even know. I'm pretty sure I'd have to sign something. I'm positive I could fake your signature. She shifts in my lap so she can look me in the eyes. What is going on with you? I just look at her. How fucking beautiful she is. Not just her looks, which are incredible, but her whole everything. Her everything. I don't know what this feeling is. I don't have a word to describe it. It's bigger than anything I've ever felt before about a woman. It's everywhere and nowhere, all at the same time. Hey, Cindy says, placing both of her palms on my stubbled face. I'm not going anywhere. For now, I say in my head. But when she gets tired of me, she's going to sell that car, buy herself a plane ticket, hell, hitch that backpack over her shoulder, and stick out her thumb on the PCH. It could go that way. In fact, I can totally see her doing that. Detective, she says, kissing me on the lips. I'm not leaving you, ever. Miss Cookie, I say. I'd just feel a whole lot better about that if you owned my house. You're crazy. They do say that, but I'm crazy too. That's the part that scares me. Why? She giggles. We're practically soulmates. Mr. and Mrs. Mysterious. That's who we are. Yeah, she says, leaning her head on my shoulder. Yeah, I like the sound of that. Mr. and Mrs. Mysterious. We sit like that a little longer, until I have to take the boat off autopilot and steer my way through the marina and back into the boat slip. I love this boat, Cindy says, as I help her step back onto the dock. I can't wait to see the other one. I smile all the way back to the car. In fact, I smile all the way back up to Malibu over that little comment. You'll see all of it, I say, just as we pull into Malibu Colony, even though she's been sleeping for the past 15 minutes. Every house, every island, every boat, every car. Prince Charming is going to deliver the fairy tale to his sweet-smelling Cinderella, whether she wants it or not.
Chapter 23. Cindy.
Hey. Pax whispers in my ear as he unbuckles my seatbelt. We're home.
Home. God, what was up with that whole conversation about giving me this house? I can't take this house. That's crazy.
I sigh, let him help me out of the car, then follow him into the house by way of the garage. This door leads straight out into the pool area, since the garage is street level and the guest house is technically on the second floor.
You ready for some steaks?
He asks as we walk into the beachside part of the house. He drops his keys on the kitchen island and walks to the refrigerator to pull it open and study what's inside.
So hungry, I say. I'll start the grill.
We went grocery shopping yesterday since he didn't have to go into the office to work and our takeout options in Malibu are limited.
Have I ever grocery shopped with a man before?
Honestly, I don't think like that. I have had girlfriends who gush over a guy asking her to grocery shop with him. Like it's something very meaningful, but even though I'm a romantic in many ways, I take love very literally. Grocery shopping is, well, buying food to eat and nothing more. Now, letting me win a house from him in a silly bet, yeah, that gesture has some meaning behind it. I just don't understand why he's so worried about me leaving. And it's not like I can even tell him how obsessive I've been trying to sneak my way into his life. No. I can't tell him any of that. And he's right. I've got the past of a girl who takes off. A wanderer. A leaver, as my Uncle Ford would say. I'm a leaver.
I need to call that Liam asshole and let him know I'm out.
You were in? I ask from the patio. You're not considering it for real, are you?
I told him I'd call him tonight and let him know. So I just have to wrap that shit up and get him off my back.
You said text. I was there, remember? Pax backs away from the fridge as the door closes, with a package of T-bone steaks and a head of broccoli.
He's not really the kind of guy who takes no for an answer in a text. I'll have to call at least.
Hmm, I say.
Hmm, what?
He says, tearing the plastic off the meat and walking towards me on the patio.
I can handle him.
Okay, I trust you completely. I just wish you'd trust me back, I want to say. But then he'll bring up all the things I really can't talk about. Like why I have no office, and why I never stick around in one place. Why I bribed a teenager to let me deliver his food all summer. And why he can't meet my mom and dad, even if we did both win today. Am I in too deep? Did I fuck this all up with my stalking?
You want to go surfing? Pax asks. After we eat? And watch the sunset from our boards.
God, how does a man like this, tall, dangerous, mysterious, manage to say the most romantic things ever? Yes, I answer. Yes, I'd love that. He cooks the steaks to perfection while I wash the broccoli and squirt ranch dressing into little ceramic dipping bowls, and then we eat outside and watch a movie star toss a football with his two sons on the beach.
You're gonna love it here. Pax says, once we're done. It's your kind of place.
I already love it here, Detective. And it's not because of the ocean, or the house, or the movie stars on the beach. It's because you're here. I'm not leaving, Paxton Vance. Not after I worked so hard to get you in the first place. He looks at me for a long second.
How about you let me fuck your brains out on the kitchen counter, and we'll save that sunset surfing for another day?
I laugh, feeling more comfortable with this man than anyone I've ever known. You're like a goddamned poet. Anyone ever tell you that? He stands up, pulls me to my feet, hoists me over his shoulder as he smacks my ass, and says,
"Only the girl I fell in love with."
We fuck all over the house that evening, on the kitchen island, as promised. Then we take a swim in the pool and fuck in the outdoor shower, Pax pressing me up against the hard stucco wall until we laugh about the impressions it leaves on my back once he throws me down into a lounge chair and starts rubbing lotion all over my body as he massages the tightness away in my wound-up muscles. He fucks me during the massage, since the massage mostly consists of him playing with my pussy until I'm squirting and screaming his name. And sometime after midnight, he puts me into bed, drags the light cover over me, and kisses me on the cheek, saying, "Be right back. Just gonna make that call to Liam now." I don't know what happens after that, because when I wake up, he's gone, and the only clue he left behind is a note. I stuck it out for 2 weeks, patted myself on the back, and read that note over and over.
"Cinderella, I gotta do this job for Liam, or he's just gonna get someone else to do it instead. And the only way corporate comes out of this alive is if I take over. Be back soon. Mr. Charming. P.S. Don't leave."
I admit, the cute note was what made me stay so long, wondering what the fuck just happened. How I went from the best night of my life to, well, dumped. What else can I call it? I called him about 100 times and it went to voicemail. I even hacked into his email just to make sure he wasn't dead, because I thought he was dead for a good 48 hours before I got the new password to his email account. He changed it. He knew I was hacking him, and he changed it. Which means we're over. But nope, he's still alive, because he's been checking emails. None of them with a reply, but every day some are marked red. He's not even leaving me messages or texts in the middle of the night while I'm sleeping so he doesn't have to talk to me. Not an email. I mean, he's online, right? He can't just bang out a few words. Hey, it was fun, but moving on. And there's always good old snail mail. I'm not expecting a Hallmark card, for fuck's sake. A few words scribbled on a Taco Bell napkin would suffice. And do I really need a slap in the face like that to take a hint? He's just not coming back. So I left. I packed up my backpack, sold my damn car, got on a plane, and left. And I've been here in the Bay Area for almost 10 days now, telling myself there are so many new things to do and see, I will never miss Paxton Vance. I will move on and chalk it all up to a bad case of delusional lust. And I have already answered ads for 2 jobs and closed both cases with 100% customer satisfaction. So, good omen, right? But man, does my heart ache. My whole chest, really. Every guy I see who might be a reasonable alternative just gets compared, like I have this checklist with Pax on one side and the whole world of men on the other. And no one will ever come close to what I feel for him, all the billions of things I love about him, like the way he plays along with my crazy and calls me Miss Sugar Cookie while trying to give me his bazillion-dollar house on the beach, or the way his head angles down while he walks, but his eyes are always aware of everything around him. Or that his mother bought him a baseball for Christmas last year, with a card inside that said, "Remember that day I took you out of school early when you were 11 so we could go watch the Bats opening game? Well, my gift to you this Christmas is the memory of that day." Is his mother adorable or what? I mean, my mother is fucking adorable too. The best. But you gotta love a man who loves his mom. She gives him memories for Christmas, because really, what do you give a man who can buy himself anything he wants? I'd like to think we were making memories that would last forever. That we'd be old one day and I'd write a note saying, "Remember that day we pretended you were a detective and I was Miss Sugar Cookie?" And make his whole life brighter just thinking about it. I sigh as I look out at the ocean. I found another place to rent, this time a real house. Well, cottage. Okay, vacation shack on the beach, if I'm being honest. But it's the same ocean as the one we had back in Malibu. And picturing him looking out at the Pacific is just about the only thing that makes my heart stop hurting. Heartbreak is a real physical condition. Not a disease, exactly, but something worse. There is no cure for heartache except time. I am broken. I had never realized that the same love that pulls you together can break you in half. I literally feel broken. I wish I kept my old phone number, but I was so angry when I left Southern California that I canceled the account, burned the chip in the microwave, and tossed it in the ocean. The only way he can reach me now is... well, he can't. He said once if he left, I'd never find him, and I guess he's right. But I'm just as elusive as he is. I can throw things away with the best of them. I didn't want to bring anything with me, not even my clothes, so my backpack had nothing in it but the contents of my purse. I won't call him again. I refuse. I just need to accept that it's over and move on. I pick up a rock from the beach and skip it across the water. There are almost no waves this morning, so my rock jumps 3 times. Maybe I should call Oliver and see if he can tell me what's going on. But then I'd have to explain this whole fucked-up stalking thing to him, and I can't do that. Cynthia? I whirl around, startled. What? I say, not quite believing my eyes. What are you doing here? Mariel Hawthorne is standing on the ridge that leads to my cottage, long coat pulled tight around her body and cinched at the waist with a belt. It's not a trench coat. She's too high fashion for that. But it's got the same look, and what I see is Pax the detective when I look at her features. She's wearing sunglasses, even though the sun is just barely rising, and she slides them down her nose to see me better as I stare. She starts walking down the embankment, her designer leather boots sinking into the sandy pebbles that line beaches up here. I think we need to talk. Did Pax send you? No, she laughs, and my heart hurts so bad I have to clutch at my coat to try to numb myself from the pain. No, I'm here for something else. Something I need to tell you. Probably should have told you that first day we met. Back in Delmar, I ask, happy that she's here. That some small bit of Pax is so close to me again, but confused, so utterly confused. No, dear, we both know you came to see me at Belmont a while back. I don't recall exactly when it was, but I never forget a face, especially one as beautiful as yours. Oh, I say, letting go of my coat. Well, thank you. Don't thank me yet, not until you've heard the whole story. Story? What is she talking about? Of why you're here, why all this is happening, and what we might do about it. We? I ask. As in, you and me? Yes, we, Cynthia. Cinderella. Oh, I know, dear. I just want to smile every time I say your real name, and what I have to tell you isn't anything to smile about. So, Cynthia, it is. Until all this is over, at least. Oh, God, I squeak. It's Pax? He's dead? They killed him? That last job? No, 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 she says, coming within arm's reach, so she can pat my shoulder. He's back from that. He's looking for you, actually. But of course he got drunk last night and told his friends who you really are, and now I'm just not sure what to do. So I came here, to talk to you and see if we can't come up with some kind of understanding. Fuck, I say, forgetting who I'm talking to for a moment. Right. You're going to have to deal with that, of course, the next time you see him. But I'm here about something else entirely. What? I ask, a chill riding up my spine, the kind of chill you get when you're about to hear bad news. Why me? What could I possibly tell you? Those silver envelopes. You said you'd never seen one before. I hadn't, I say. Not until that day with you at the track. Think back, Cynthia. Never? Are you sure? I shrug. I don't remember them. But then again, I was never on the lookout. Your sisters? They never got one? She cocks her head at me, like she might think I'm lying, but I'm not lying. Not that I saw. Why? I think we should take this conversation inside, have a hot cup of tea. Some scones I brought with me from the bakery down the road. Something soothing. Just picturing this makes me frown. My mom used to do that when she had to break bad news to me and my brother and sisters. She'd bake all day, or make a big roast, something huge and delicious for dinner or dessert. And then she'd say, "You're not getting money for that trip, Belle. Your father does not approve." Or, "There is no new car in your future, Ariel. So put that illegal hacking site aside and get a real job." So this must be your version of parental guidance night if you're trying to feed me tea and scones just to have a talk. She smiles, like she's picturing my family dinner. I think I will love your mother when we finally meet. I think you will too, if, I say, if you ever get to meet her. Mariel pats my hand and then nods her head toward the cottage. Come on, let's go inside. It's too cold and damp up here in the north, and I don't approve of your rustic accommodations, Cynthia. You're going to be in a 5-star resort this afternoon. I'm not against roughing it, sweetie, but this is going too far. Your parents would never forgive me if I let you stay out here for one more second.
Chapter 24. Paxton. Present day, Mr. Perfect's house. And that's the last time I saw her. Well, I amend, starting to sober up. The last time I talked to her, too. I went back home yesterday after our meeting at Corporate's house. That was 2 weeks ago, Pax, Perfect says. You've been drunk on mint juleps for 2 fucking weeks. But I have to wave them off. Yesterday, 2 weeks ago, same thing. Once I figured out who she was, I was going to go home and confront her. But she wasn't at my house when I got there, so I drove to her trailer and it was empty. She ran, man. She picked up and ran. I sit down, my head in my hands. Because I left her there. Just a fucking note, man. Saying I'd be back and to stay put. And now she's fucking gone. It took me weeks to take care of all that corporate shit, and she was like, fuck you, dude, I'm out of here. I look up at Mac and Five, who are both staring at me like I've lost my mind. Do you think you can call Oliver and ask him where she is? Is he fucking serious right now? Five practically growls at Mac. You do realize I've known this girl since she was fucking born? He's looking at me now. And if you ever talk about fucking her again, Oliver and I will both kick your ass to, I love her, okay? I love her. You guys are just going to have to accept that she's mine now. Fuck that, Five says. If you were fucking my baby sister, I'd kick your ass into next year. No, he says, pacing the room as he rubs his chin. I'd blow your fucking head off with a shotgun. Perfect rolls his eyes and mouths drama to me. Better yet, Five continues, cut your goddamned balls off, or your dick. I'd like to see you fuck anyone else's baby sister after that. I let out a long exhale. What's done is done, I say. It can't be undone. I just need you to find her for me. Call Oliver's parents' house, or... I get excited with this idea. Ariel! Yeah, Ariel will know where she is. Oh, Five laughs. You're gonna undo it all, right? He stops pacing and points his finger at me. You're gonna break up with her, that's what you're gonna do. Hopefully she's gone and won't ever bother with you again, but if she does show up, you're gonna cut all ties, send her ass back home to Colorado, and wash your hands. Do you hear me? I stop to think for a minute. The Little Mermaid. Ariel is named after the Little Mermaid. Which princess is Belle? I suddenly have to need to know all the Disney princesses, so I take out my phone and start to look it up. You know, Pax, Perfect says, ignoring my question. Beauty and the Beast, I say, so proud of my skills. You're the next one they're gonna fuck with, right? Perfect continues. If Cindy's around when that happens, she might... I'll kill you, Five says. Dead. If anything happens to Cindy Shrike, I will kill you. You're gonna forget you ever heard of a girl named Cinderella. I want to object, but Perfect's words are ringing in my head. Could they use her against me? Could? Could? More like, they absolutely will. I get up, walk to Perfect's bar, make myself a bourbon, and drink it down in one gulp. Yeah, Five says, practically spitting the word out. And if I see you drink another mint julep, I will kick your ass just for being so goddamned wussy. You understand me, Mysterious? Am I making myself clear? I pour another drink, down that one too, and then let the burning sensation in my gut numb me from the waist up. Oliver can't ever know about this, Five says. Thanksgiving is coming up next month, so she'll come home for that, and I'll take her aside and explain things. Okay? You don't tell her shit if you find her. Not one word. If you have to say something, then you just say, sorry, I'm an asshole. I cheated on you, and I'm not telling her that, you dick. Fuck no. Oh, I don't give one fancy fuck what you think you're going to tell her. I'm the one with access, so I'm going to find her, and I'll be the one to tell her you're a cheating motherfucker and she will never look at you twice again. 5. Perfect interrupts. You're not doing any of that, okay? Just calm down. He turns to me. Pax, you have to see you need to let her go, right? You can't take the chance that our enemies might drag her into this shit we're in. His eyes plead with me. Right? I just stare at him. Right? You don't want to get her hurt. I know you don't. So you're going to do the right thing. No one, he says, looking over at Five, is going to babysit you. We're not going to call her or do any of those things Five just said, because you're a grown-ass man, for fuck's sake. And you know you have to do the right thing. So leave her alone. Pretend this never happened. And if you do bump into her, you say, sorry, Cindy, I'm just not into you. I'm not saying shit while Perfect talks up his plan. I can't promise that. If I see her, I'm handcuffing her ass to me and throwing the goddamned key away. That's what I'm going to do. Fuck everyone if that happens. We'll get on that boat in Delray and just say, show's over, folks, nothing to see here, and sail our merry asses around the world, or at least to another port so I can pick up a suitable yacht, and just say, fuck everyone. I look up at Five, and he's got a pained expression on his face. I'm just about to lie and say, yep, that's a great plan, Perfect, when Five opens his mouth and says, what if they already have her? Who? I ask. Liam? Fucking Lucio Gori Sr.? Why would they even know about her? Don't jump to conclusions, Perfect says, and then he looks at Five like he's sending him a secret message. What the fuck was that look for? What look? Perfect says. Don't play stupid with me, I say. You just shot Five a look. I'm just saying there's a lot of shit going down right now, Five says, and a missing Shrike girl isn't something I can just pretend not to know. You have to understand that, right? Five, Perfect says. What the fuck are you saying? Pax, man, Five says. If she's missing, then I gotta call home. Home? Perfect is scrunching up his face like this is a very bad idea. I agree. You're calling Oliver? I laugh. You fucking piece of shit. No, Five says. I'm calling his fucking father. Cindy's father? I scrub my hand down my face. You can't do that. The hell I can't. I will get my ass beat if I don't report in on this one, Pax. Sorry, there is no way I'm not. Five, Perfect says again. Only this time he raises his voice. Scout starts barking and jumping around, the agitation in the room clearly palpable. You're Mr. Shut the Fuck Up, and now all of a sudden you're eager to share? No, I don't fucking think so. I'm opening my mouth to agree when my phone vibrates in my pants. I look up at Perfect, then Five, and then his phone vibrates in his hand. I pull mine out as Five studies his screen. Who is it? Perfect asks. My mother. Oliver, Five says. We just stand there looking at each other for a few seconds, both phones going off simultaneously. Well, don't just stand there looking stupid. Answer them, Perfect says. Scout barks her agreement. Hello? Five and I say together. Paxton, my mother says. I need you to come to the Hundred Palms Resort. What? Mom, I'm a little busy right now. Can I call you back? I look outside and realize it's morning. I was talking all night long. After lunch or something? No, Paxton, you may not. Her voice has a hard edge to it, like she's pulling the mom card on me. I'm here, she says, with Cynthia Nolan and that sweet girl Ivy. And we require the presence of all the misters with their respective misses for an emergency meeting. You have Cindy? Hey. I say, looking at Perfect. I found her. Cindy's with my mom and Romantic at his desert armpit of a resort. Well, Five says, pocketing his phone. That was Oliver looking for Ariel. She's in the mountains with Ellie, Perfect says. Be back this afternoon. Told him that, but he's on his way here because I called a private meeting. Mom, I say, we'll be there later today, but is she okay? She's fine, Paxton. Can I talk to her? No. No? Well, why the fuck not? Because your personal issues need to be put aside until we discuss the job you just finished. How the fuck did she know about that? Call your corporate friend and tell him to drive down to the resort as well. And we need his missus. She's definitely a player. Victoria? What? Five asks. What's going on? He grabs the phone from my hand and says, Hello? This is Five. But he just looks down at my phone and tosses it back. She hung up. She's called a Mr. Meeting at Nolan's Resort. She can't call a Mr. Meeting, Five says. She's not a mister. Neither are you, dumbass, but if you'd like to call my mother back and explain that to her, be my guest. I'm going. Cindy's there, and I need to talk to her. Well, we're not going anywhere until Oliver gets here. And the girls need to get back from the mountains, Perfect says. Maybe I should take the helicopter and pick them up? Good idea, I say. I'll take the Mr. Jet out to California while you guys take care of your end. I'm anxious to get the fuck out of Colorado. I don't think so. Fuck you, I tell Five. Who the fuck made you the boss of this operation? This is my issue, remember? You're next, Mysterious, I say in a fake Five voice. Okay, I'm next, clearly. So if everything that's happening is due to it being my turn, then I'm in charge. And I say Perfect gets Ellie and Ariel, you get Oliver, and we meet in the desert. I'll call corporate and let him know his presence is required. I stop and wait for Perfect to object, but he just throws up his hands at Five and says, We'll do it his way, can't hurt. But Five narrows his eyes at me. He's not used to being challenged in these matters. Even corporate deferred to him during that last episode of bullshit. He points a finger at me. I'm telling Oliver the minute I see him. You do that. And then the two of you can sort it out. We most definitely will. Five turns to leave, opens the front door, then stops and turns to look over his shoulder. And by the way, you're welcome for carting your drunk ass all over Colorado in a helicopter last night, which I'm taking with me. He walks out, slamming the door behind him. Scout barks at that. I look at Perfect. I'm gonna have to bring the dog, he says. And Five isn't gonna like that one bit. We laugh, picturing Perfect's giant old English sheepdog on Five's fancy jet and say, Fucking Five, at the same time. I'll see you there, I say, then help myself to some car keys from the table near the garage door. I'm going to borrow your car.
Chapter 25. Cindy. I am looking out the window of Nolan's second-floor office, staring at the long, palm tree-lined driveway leading up to the resort, desperately willing Paxton to appear. I know he landed, the pilot called, per Nolan's instructions, as soon as he left the tarmac in the limo, but that feels like an eternity ago. My heart still hurts, although Mariel has eased it a bit since this morning. It has been quite the messed-up day on my end, all the things she told me. I just don't know what to make of it, but it doesn't matter. We have other issues to deal with first, namely, the people responsible for the whole Mr. Corporate fuck-up, as it's now being called by Nolan, who was very pissed off he was not informed of what was happening, since there was a Mr. Romantic fuck-up last summer, and a less dangerous but equally suspicious Mr. Perfect fuck-up about a year ago. Ivy explained them both to me, and Jesus. I don't think I can look at Nolan Delaney the same way after the things she disclosed under the Mrs. to the Misters pact I had to swear. Am I a Mrs. to a Mister? Knock, knock, Mariel says behind me. I turn and find her standing in the doorway with a tall, strikingly beautiful woman with dark hair and the most mesmerizing violet eyes I've ever seen. Hey, I say, uncertain what to make of her. I know who she is just from the description Mariel gave me earlier. Victoria Arias, a.k.a. Mrs. Corporate. Cynthia, Mariel says. This is Victoria, Weston Conrad's better half.